to. You can be dismissed. I would have forgot. Thank you for reminding me. Welcome. My name is Brad. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you braved the rain and snow and some of you bad parking. Thank you. It's okay. I'm real excited to get through this section of James. We are going to spend, I think it's a total of 11 weeks in James. This is week 3. And one of the things that we've said the first 2 weeks is James kind of gets in our business, and that may happen today, and that's okay. Check. If you can turn those monitors off for right now, I don't know if they're on. It feels like it's on. Appreciate it. So we are still in the first chapter of James, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to review with you and then get into the section that we're talking about. And we're going to hang on two particular parts this morning. Sarah mentioned something in the beginning that is something we can't neglect, especially as we get into the topic that we're getting into today. The thing we can't neglect is the idea that James was well aware of what his half-brother Jesus did. And what he did was he made people right with God because of his sacrifice. James was under the Old Testament law where to be made right with God was sacrificing animals to get the forgiveness of sins and to trust in God. And now that has been turned upside down and that they are now accepted through their belief in Christ and what he's done. And that's where we're at today too. That's how we're accepted and made right. And he's assuming who he's writing to, that they understood that perfectly well. And we need to understand that too. Okay? So everything I'm talking about today has nothing to do with making your standing with God better. You can't do that. If you could, we would gather around and worship you because you are amazing in making yourself right with God. You can't do that. That's why we worship Jesus, because he's made us right with God. Okay, so don't lose track of that. That's kind of like the disclaimer up front. All right, now, the review is this. This is out of, if you've ever heard of Kay Arthur, Inductive Study, this is actually out of one of her study parts, and I thought it was real good. So you can go ahead, Matt. Thanks. The first week we said, trials originate outside us, and they are designed to strengthen and mature us. Okay? That's the point of trials. And if we really understand that, or understood that, it really changes our perspective at how we handle hard times. Hard times can now be looked at with this idea of actually being joyful, not happy skipping around, but joy in it, knowing that God is using that opportunity to mature us and make us more Christ-like. And usually you see that on the other side of that hard time. But there is value in that. The second thing that Krishna talked about, did a good job last week talking about, was temptations. So trials are outside us. Temptations originate within. I thought that was an interesting idea. It says, they can destroy us. And you guys are well aware of that. Those of you who have had a temptation and you've acted on it, it's never been like, oh, that was a great decision, because they destroy. James uses fishing or hunting language to describe temptation. Do you remember last week what slide Krishna had up to show this? He had a big lure up there, right? Big fishing lure. And that's actually the word that's used to describe temptation. It says the enemy of your soul is a master at designing just the right bait to lure you away from your devotion to the Lord. Boy, that's true. Okay? And then continuing that thought, Satan designs the bait. So the bait is there. We all have the temptation. All have different temptations in different areas of our lives. But it's our own lust that carries us away. Okay? We don't have to bite that fishing lure. Okay? We have a choice in that. But this isn't a playground, right? This is a battlefield. And a lot of us just skip around life like it is a playground. with the soft ground and all the things necessary for a good playground. That just frustrates me. I just wanted to get into the old blacktop playgrounds with the high climbing apparatus. You fall and you toughens you up. All right. Satan masterfully designs the lure, but motivation to bite comes from our own lust. So that was last week. Okay, moving on. So this week, we're going to look at two topics, listening well and being doers of the word. Okay, so here we go. Those are our two focuses. Go ahead. And we're going to spend a lot of time in verse 19. Yes. Oh, thank you, Aaron. Before we get to verse 19, I would like to have Jan come up. Can we get this mic on? This is exactly when I wanted to have Jan come up. Sorry.
The world.
Here, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, if anybody else wants to join me up here in this effort of like attempting this, Brad has said that
So what she was saying is, if you want to be part of that goal of trying to memorize this, so I don't know if last week or 2 weeks ago she had said she, at one time in college, had remembered the whole book of James, and so she's trying to refresh her memory on that. So if you want to endeavor in that, that'd be great to work with her, and then you can come up front too. Okay. Yeah. I just have to tell you, I was wondering why my wife is holding a baby in the back, pointing down. I'm like, she's got a baby in her hands? Anyway, she's let me know that I forgot to have Jan come up. Okay, so here we go. Let's focus on this first verse, and let's really see what it has to say. So you heard Jan kind of read through it, and it's so neat to hear the whole section. So we'll dig into it, and then my hope is that later you go back and read this whole thing again, and it just has some more meaning to it. So understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And obviously that's incredibly convicting to me because I have a tendency to be opposite on all those. So I just want to say that up front. This, you know, there's a lot for me to learn in here. So I'm not telling you all this as someone who has it down, but someone who is in progress. So we're going to spend our time on must all be quick to listen. Notice it's everyone. Okay, this isn't just leaders of the church or parents or kids. This is everyone. Okay, go ahead. So when I was reading this, it made me think of this book that I had read several years ago. And I've mentioned this book a couple times. Actually, the book that I ended up taking notes from because I couldn't find this one was Seven Habits of a Success of a Highly Effective Family. Very good book. I read it like 20 years ago, and very impactful. And when I read this verse, it made me think of this book because this book was actually written on a lot of biblical principles. Okay, so go ahead. So a lot of what I'm going to say is coming from the Highly Effective Family. Again, I really encourage you, especially if you have young kids or even if you're a young grandparent, man, read this and think about how you can apply this to your family. This is habit number 5. And habit number 5 is this profound statement, which is profound because it's biblical. It says, seek first to understand, then be understood. Okay, seek first to understand, then be understood. And here's where this is crazy. This will be later in the section. I'll repeat it, but I'm going to say it right now. If you're like me and you're in a conversation, a large part of the conversation is me thinking about what I'm going to say next. That is not seeking to understand someone. Can you relate? Hopefully, again, I get a couple nods on this. That is unbiblical. James is saying, we're in the first chapter of this important letter that he's writing, and he writes out this idea of, hey, be quick to listen. And I think it's foundational, and I'll tell you why. So, yeah, like I said there, it says, during a conversation when other person is speaking, we are primarily thinking about what we're going to say instead of truly listening. Truly listening is, it takes effort. And I'll tell you this, I think it's one of the biggest acts of love that you can give. And I'm convinced on this the more I've looked through it. And again, I'm highly guilty of not doing this, of listening well. So I'll give you some examples to prove it. Moving on. So this word, akouo, okay, I would love for that to become kind of part of your conversation, or the word that you use in your family to remind each other what we're talking about. Akouo, it's a Greek word, okay? And the meaning of akouo, because to hear has several meanings, like either you can hear or you can't hear, or you can hear something, but you're not sure what it is. But akouo can mean this, which I believe is the purpose of the word in this section. It means to understand, perceive the sense of what is said. Because here's the thing, and this is why digital technology is dangerous. Stephen Covey would argue, the author of that book, would argue that 80% of communicating is nonverbal cues. And this is what it means to be quick to listen, means to not just hear it, but to understand what is being communicated at the depths of it. Body language, mannerisms, the tone, the context of the conversation, all that. And by the way, this takes effort. I said it, okay? But it's one that we should really consider. Okay, akouo. Don't forget that word. That's what we're talking about, akouo. All right, move on. Why be quick to listen? Go ahead. So I said listening is potentially the most loving and humble thing you can do for another person. Humble because it's not about you. If you're truly listening to understand, it's all about the other person. You are humbly standing before them saying, I want to see it the way you see it. Okay, that is humility, because it's no longer about you. And remember, what are most conversations? Autobiography. In other words, I'm just speaking what I'm thinking. Okay? All right, so I think, and then go ahead. In Colossians, listen to this. In light of Akuo, okay, listen to this. Since God chose you to be holy people, he loves. So again, remember, this is all out of response of what God has done. You must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Okay, think about your interactions with people, what they would look like if they had that at the foundation. I think you would listen to understand. Okay? Make allowances for each other's faults. Ugh. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Okay? So again, just let's keep digging through this because I think this is foundational. Okay, next. This is from the book, and I think this is really important. It says, there's no way to have rich, rewarding family relationships without real understanding. Okay, stop right there. My wife is really good at constantly reminding me, listen to him. Because I feel like I've gotten to the point where, like, you know how, like, you see things in your dad that you don't like and now you're doing them? I think I've arrived in some areas. Because a lot of times, I don't care what my kids' thoughts are. I'm there to tell them what the facts are. Right? Like, it's like, and Erin's very good. She's always like, just listen to them. I'm like, I don't want to listen. I want them to do what I said. Okay, that's wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Now, there's times when it's like, enough, Junior, go do what I say. Okay, I'm not saying you sit around and let Junior dictate your life. I'm not saying that. Remember, I'm on this side. I'm too harsh. So if you're too soft, come my way while I go your way. Right now, we're talking about the harsh people. So let me give you an example of real understanding. I don't know why I'm like half emotional about this. Sorry. And you hear the conversation, and it's so silly. Yesterday morning, Eliana's up. And so Eliana's life, my daughter's life, she's 10 years old. Just give you a quick understanding of why this is a big deal. She went from basically working second shift, which was homeschool, her hours, to now she's on first shift. So it's a big transition. And so Saturday morning, she got up. Because she is part of a play or musical thing, and they had practice. And she's sitting there at breakfast. She's like, I don't want to go to this, you know, stupid practice. She's not being this harsh, but I'm just trying to make a good story. She's like, you know, this, I don't want to get up, blah, blah, blah. And part of me, I just want to say, you signed up for this. These are the consequences. Eat your breakfast. Be quiet. Like, that's how I would normally handle it. And I'm getting ready for this, I was like, okay, I'm going to be an empathetic listener. I was like, it sounds like you're not real happy getting up this morning. And she's like, and all of a sudden she just changed. She had a big smile. She's like, yeah. She's like, I just want to sleep. And I don't know why, again, it's about sleeping, emotional. So cute. She wanted to be back in bed. Anyway. Yeah, but the point is that it changed everything. It wasn't me getting in a battle with her. It was her sitting there. She was understood. I guess that's why I'm emotional, because.
And you did it.
Okay. I thought you were yelling at me. Thanks, Lisa. I was ready to yell at you. Okay. And but the point is, I saw what it could be like. I had a little taste of it. I was like, man, this is great. I actually tried to understand her and, you know, her little world and how important, you know, it was to sleep. And but since that, she had to be up. And so we were on the same team now. I was like, yeah, that stinks. Maybe you can sleep in tomorrow or so. You know, the point is, this is important. Okay. So, and the dinner table, you know, so important to understand. Okay. So it says rewarding family relationships without real understanding. You have to have it. It says relationships can be superficial. Okay, again, think of this digital world that's driving me crazy. That's killing these kids emotionally. They can be functional. They can be transactional. In other words, where you don't put in this effort I'm talking about. But they can't be transformational. Okay? They can't be. Which is deeply satisfying. Again, that's what these kids aren't getting. says, unless they're built on foundation of genuine understanding. This is so ridiculous. Understanding. Akuo, such a sad word. Goodness gracious. And it's going to get a lot worse before this gets better. Sorry. Lack of sleep. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So convicted, I guess, is what it is. All right. We can go ahead. Go ahead, Matt. Thanks. It says, most mistakes with our children and our spouses, not a result of bad intent. So that's a good point. So, you know, a lot of guys, I'm saying guys, we're not sitting there like, how can I make my wife miserable today? Like, we're not, that's not our intent, right? Like, we're not striving for that, although it appears that way. It's really because we just don't understand. If you read the chapter, there's tons of examples of this. I can't get into them because I'll start crying more. We don't see clearly into another's heart. Jeez, holy cow, convicting. All right, next. This is a good line. You've probably heard this before. And it goes right along with this, akuo, okay? The line is, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care, okay? Goodness gracious. The deepest hunger of a human heart is to be understood. And I guess that's what I'm getting from this. Like, I kind of forgot that. I don't know why. I thought the deepest hunger of a heart was to just hear me bark orders at them. For understanding implicitly affirms, okay? It really does affirm the person. Validates, recognizes, and appreciates the intrinsic worth of another. Hey, so that's man, are you guys getting this? Like, are you feeling it? Like, hopefully you feel as bad as I do through this whole thing. And just so you know, I mentioned to my wife what I was teaching on, and I said, yeah, you know, I kind of said, I think I did this listening thing down pretty good. And she goes, what? I wish I had it recorded. Moving on. So what are some levels of listening? I don't know if this is scientific. This was in the book, and it seemed good. So there's five levels of listening. Many of us maybe get to three or four. The fifth one is what I'm talking about. So ignoring, this is when you have a two-year-old who won't stop talking, and you just, you know, a lot of times you don't even hear them, okay? Or whatever, you're just in a room. Number two is actually like a two-year-old too, where they're just talking and you give a lot of uh-huh, right, you're not tuned in. Because it is hard. They're talking a lot. But I just want to encourage you, there are times to just stop and actually listen to them. And that's where your spouse is helpful, because you'll hear your child saying something very significant and the spouse is just like, yeah, okay, sure, you know, and they didn't really listen. So you can encourage each other. Hey, you might want to hear what they're saying. The third point is selective listening. We hear part of what is said, but we're distracted with cell phones. Like a really huge pet peeve of mine is when a kid talks to me. This doesn't happen in my classroom, but I'm just saying. And a kid will have a headphone in. Like, they think that's normal. Like, that's like, you watch them at the lunch table. They all have headphones in and they're all kind of talking and stuff. That's not good. That's selective listening. You're not valuing the person if you have a headphone in while you're talking to them. Or you're too busy thinking of what you're going to say. The next one is attentive listening. This is actively listening. And he really pushes hard against this psychological technique or psychological technique or counseling technique, I guess, where when you're communicating like with your spouse, where communication isn't good, where the spouse will say something and then you repeat it, okay? He said that's fine, but that's not empathetical listening. He's saying that's just attentive listening. That's good, but it's not the fifth one, which is what he's saying is real important, which is seeing the world through someone else's eyes. That takes a lot of effort, okay? And that's really what he's saying we need to go to. And I believe that this is what James is saying. I believe this is 100% biblical. That as a body of believers, we should be the best listeners. You know, James is telling us, be quick to listen. And not just hear the person, not just be, you know, pretend listening or selective listening or even attentive listening. I believe it. He clearly means empathetic listening, where you're putting yourself in that person's shoes, okay? Like, you know, Eliana, like I just get up early. I don't care about it. But could I put myself in her shoes where she's just sick of getting up? Okay, that's where we need to go. So, go ahead, one more. Listen, in light of everything I just said, listen to this verse again. Understand this. This is James speaking. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen. Does that mean more to you now? Be quick to, like, really listen. Akouo. Put effort into it. Okay, be empathetic with that person. See it through their eyes. That's what we're to be quick to do. Okay? Slow to speak and slow to get angry. Okay, go ahead. The slow to speak, we're going to talk about speech or the tongue a lot in 3 weeks, so I'm not going to even address that right now. But it all goes together. I think it makes sense. Right? If you're truly listening, you don't have to say a lot. You can ask some clarifying questions. And you need to develop skill in this. Like, it takes a lot of thought to figure out a good probing question. Okay? And then next one is slow to anger. And this one's kind of weird. Like, why? And to be honest with you, and I've read James several times. And if you look at it, it almost seems like there was something going on to those that he was writing to that they were getting angry about, and we don't know what it is. But the bottom line is this. The next verse tells us why it's of little value. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. That's the bottom line. Like freaking out, unless it's like there's biblical anger like for injustice and things like that, but in light of what he's talking about here, listening, talking, and getting mad, why? Right? There's really no value. In fact, if we look at righteousness, go ahead. If in Romans 3, listen to this. Romans 3, 23, which should sound familiar to you. But listen to the whole section. It says, "For everyone has sinned." You've heard that, right? Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's gracious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. Our anger doesn't make us righteous. God makes us righteous through Jesus. Righteous meaning we have a right standing. He did this through Christ, Jesus, when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back what he did. He did not punish those who had sinned in past times. So the point is this. Righteousness comes from God, not our anger. Okay, so he's just saying, back off that. Okay, moving on. We're going to go through this next section fairly quickly because I want to get to the last part. Get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. So this idea, go ahead, where temptations come from within us, I get this idea where it's almost like don't make yourself like filled with evil, because it's just going to add to this acting on these temptations. So it's like this idea that if we understand what it takes to resist the evil one, we'll be motivated to get rid of the evil in our lives, okay? So I think that's what that's referring to there. Okay, this section. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about this even more. Okay, so I'm going to talk about it, but I'm going to leave room for in 2 weeks for Krishna to go deep on this, okay, and give a lot of explanation to this. But for right now, I put the NSAB because it says, but prove yourselves doer of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. Okay, so there's two categories of people. Go ahead. There's doers of the word and there's hearers of the word. Okay, did you catch how they're described? Go ahead. Doers of the word are proving themselves. Hearers of the word, where they're only hearing, are fooling themselves. Did you catch that? Listen, we're kind of like in one of two categories here. We are either doing the word or we just hear the word. And I'm sorry to say this, but if you're just hearing the word, like you come and this is kind of nice, the snacks are good, lunch is great, you know, think music is awesome, and you just hear the word, you're a fool. You're a fool. Okay? And listen, I love you, and I don't want you to be in the fool category. Okay, we're called to be doers of the word. And being a doer or a hearer has huge impact. I don't know if you remember last week, Krishna included at the beginning of his sermon a quote from, he said that Patsy includes in her emails. Well, read these next two things. Go ahead. Listen to this. This is from, I don't know who Kevin Max is. Maybe Patsy knows. What? Oh, DC Talk. Did you see Kirk throw out the reference to the Rat Band? Holy cow! And from DC, or yeah, your hometown. All right. Okay, sorry, I'm just really thrown off. Kevin Max, obviously DC Talk, he says this, and this is really profound. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. It's hypocrisy. DC Talk. Okay? What a great quote, though. All right? So when I said that being a doer and a hearer, it's not just us. This is, remember, our role here, let's get the big picture. We're to be participating in building God's kingdom here on earth. That is our role. We're to be actively building this kingdom of God here on earth where love reigns and serving others is important, more important than myself. That is our role. And if we're just hearers, how can we be participating in that? We're not. We're a joke. Listen to the next one from Roosevelt. He said, great thoughts speak only to the thoughtful mind, but great actions speak to all mankind. Right? Okay, so, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. We're going to hit that more later. Okay, moving on. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. What I think is he was just trying to think of the dumbest example he could come up with. Like, for today, I would say it's like you looked at a photograph and you didn't see yourself in the picture, right? Like, when you look at a picture and you're in it, where do your eyes go? Right to yourself. There could be 50 people in it and you're just looking at yourself. He's like, that's what you do. He's saying, if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like being stupid. He's like, it's like you look in a mirror and you forget what you look like. He's like, no one does that. Okay, he's calling them out. Okay? All right, next. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and you do what it says, and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. That's a good thing. Right? It's great to get God's blessing. And he's going to bless us as we pursue him. It's a matter of fact. Okay? This perfect law, I could have spent a lot of time into that or looking into that. Let me just say this. Go ahead. The law has three meanings. It could mean any law, like a law of the land. It can mean the Mosaic law, which it, In this case, it doesn't. And then the third one, it could be the Christian. This is a definition from, I forget what it's called. Anyway, Strong's somewhere. And it says the Christian religion, it says the law demanding faith, the moral instruction given by Christ, and then it says especially loving others. It got cut off there, sorry. Especially loving others. So this law, this perfect law that James is referring to is the law of Christ, is what I would say. It's this freedom that we have now because we're under this law of loving others. Okay, that's what I believe that's referring to there. Okay, now I want to get to the last two parts. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, there's this tongue idea again, you're fooling yourselves and your religion is worthless. Now, why is that? Okay, why is what you say so important? Well, Matthew 15 answers that. But the words you speak come from your heart. That's why. It's a window into who you are. Okay? What you say exposes who you are. So he's saying you can't talk like, you know, we're going to see a lot of references to this. Like, you know, a spring doesn't give fresh water and then bitter water. It's going to do one or the other. Like what we speak is determining who we are. So again, we'll get into that more. Last verse, and one we're going to spend a little bit of time on. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God, of God the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Okay, next week I'm going to hammer on this point. I'm going to start it right now. And this is very, very important. Church is not a business. Okay, I'm gonna dig down on that next week. Church is not a business. And I think James is addressing this right here. He picked two categories of people that can give you nothing in return. Orphans and widows. Right? There's nothing, like helping them doesn't benefit me. Like, I'm not going to be able to get a better job. I'm not going to be able to, up my standing. I help these. It's because I truly am just helping with nothing in return. Do you guys get what I'm saying? Because church is not a business. If it was a business, I would say, okay, let's pick the house that seems to have the most wealth, and we'll go there and help them rake their leaves, and maybe they'll give us money. Right? We're after the people that offer nothing. Okay, so here we go. This is where I'm giving you an option to be a fool or not. We're either going to be doers or we're going to be hearers. Okay? Go ahead. So, goodness gracious, I can't look at this side of the church for this part. See if you can drag over. I have a video. You may not know Chris Covert's story. So, Chris, this is a video. You can go ahead. Just hit the space bar. See if that works. So that's her husband. He died 9 years ago. I don't want sound right now. Thanks. So this is him. He was actually doing a documentary of his cancer. This is actually filmed probably 15 years ago. Somewhere around there. I'm sorry. 2002. Somewhere around there. And I actually show this in class every year in my classroom because you can go ahead and hit the space bar, Matt. So, when did you get married, Chris?
1969,
great year. I was born in 69. Anyway, they were married in 1969, and then they had five kids, and you may know many of their kids. So again, Chris plays bass, and you may not know her story, so I'm telling you her story. So they're married in 69, had five kids. Cindy would be the oldest. Bill, what's... Oh, Bill? Bill's old. Sorry, Cindy. Bill's the oldest. Cindy, and then Susie, Sherry, and Sarah. Okay, so those are their children. Many of them go here. If you've gone to Little Sock, then you obviously know Bill. So I'll refer to him as Mr. Covert. So Mr. Covert I guess it was like in 2002, was diagnosed with cancer. And I remember we were at Loyal Sock Church at this time, and it was a battle. It looked like maybe he was going to pull through, and then it ended up spreading. And in June 2008, he died. Okay, so I wish I could talk and cry. I can't. Anyway, so we have a widow, and she's doing fine, but there's things we can help with. Go ahead. I talked with her and said, just a storage shed. Ay, ay, ay. Sorry. I asked her, what could we do? And I know it's probably been 9 years or so, she's had a bunch of equipment that her husband has collected over the years. And so it's meaningful to her, but it's also a burden. You can go a couple more slides. But she's paying rent on his storage shed every month. And what I need, and we're going to have done before we're done with James, is we're going to get the storage shed cleaned out. So I'm going to need people to, you can go another slide. Is that the storage shed or is that the garage? Okay. So this is a storage shed, and I appreciate Chris sharing this with me. This is vulnerable to being vulnerable for her to open up for this, but I pressed her to do it. But what I tell you what the goal is, and I got my notebook here. You can talk to me. We're gonna get this figured out. I don't want to be the one to do it all. I will if no one does, but someone here has the time, effort, energy, and ability to do this. We're going to sell as much of this as we can. Find a way. I don't know if we're going to Craigslist, whatever. You may be good at something. You may know a way to get rid of music equipment. I know it's hard to see what's there, but there's a lot, and a lot of the stuff is older, and it's there'll be unique users for it. I don't know if we just have a sale there. Whatever it is, or if you are just gifted at making lots of money and you just want to write a check to get this cleaned out and give her some money, whatever. I don't know what it is. But that's the issue. She has a storage shed. There's a bunch of equipment in it. There's some value to it. I don't want to just throw it away. I want to try to sell it. I want to give her the money, obviously. But we're a small church in that we can do things like this. We can pick a person, we can do it. Okay, but it's going to require you guys doing it. Now, let me say a couple things about this. Serving is never convenient. Like, no one's sitting here going, this is perfect. I have the next month off and I didn't have anything to do. I can do it. No one is in that position. Okay, serving is never convenient. Remember that. Don't wait for your schedule to open up because it's never going to. But what matters is that we do what we think is important. You always make time. As Rob says, you're going to make time for what's important. And I'm telling you, I think this is important. As a church, if we have a widow who is in need and we ignore it, shame on us. Let's just close the door. Okay? I want to say this too. There are seasons in life. Okay, some people are not in the season of life to be serving others a tremendous amount of time outside of their family. They need to just focus on their marriage and their kids, and I'm telling you, do that. You're not going to be looked upon with disgust. I'm going to say that's what you should do. But there's many of you who spend, 20-some hours a week looking at Facebook posts. I'm asking you to give that up for a week, and let's get this done. Okay, so someone in here knows how to handle this. I'm not the right person. Like I said, I'll do it if no one does it, but I'm not the right person. I don't know how to sell things online and do all that. Someone here should know how to do that. Okay, So I'm going to ask you, when we're done, downstairs is a good time while we're eating. Come talk to me. I'll have my notebook. I'll get your name, and we'll put everything together. I'd love to have someone in charge of this. So, you know, if there's someone here who's like, I want to take this over, I can do it, awesome, talk to me. We'll get a team together, and we'll get it done. Is everybody clear on what I'm saying? Okay, sorry being emotional today. It was rough. Next, let me just summarize what we talked about. Go ahead. So hopefully, as you read through this section, read it again. Sit home, read it. I hope you get what it means to listen well, akouo, to understand others. And then lastly, be doers of the word. Otherwise, we're fools. Let me pray, and then I'll see if anybody has any thoughts. God, thank you for loving us. I pray we respond to your love, and we do as you did, which is serve others. Serve through either listening well or actually doing something. But I just pray that we are about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.